Welcome to the Nonprofit News Feed, nonprofitnewsfeed.com, bringing you the best news from the best sector, news from a nonprofit perspective and what matters. This show brought to you by Whole Whale, a B Corp digital agency. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to the Nonprofit News Feed. My name is George Weiner, and I have Nick Azule, the digital strategist over at Whole Whale. How's it going, Nick?
It's going great, George. Enjoying a true spring week here in New York. But George, I know we have some updates from Whole Whale. I'd love to hear from you what we've got cooking under the hood over here.
Yeah. So look, this is, I mean, it's the Whole Whale podcast. We also like to talk about nonprofit news, but also just news for Whole Whale, I find interesting. And maybe you do too, because frankly, you listen to this. Thanks, by the way, for that. We have an ad grant cohort, the Google ad grant cohort, and we were too busy to do this. Like, we just had way too much work for our ads team in the spring, and we were like, maybe we just can't do it this year. And we had enough nonprofits reach out to us saying, hey, when are you doing this? When can I sign up? That we moved some things around and are actually doing this, the Google Ad Grant cohort, this summer, starting July 17th. Registrations are now open. We limit it to 25 organizations, and actually we give priority to internal clients as well, so that's even less spots available. There are folks that have taken this Google Ad Grant cohort years ago and still say it brought them so far forward in management of the Google Ad Grant, which is a free $10,000 a month Google for nonprofits solution that lets you advertise your organization in the search results. And it is how we train our own team. We have our ads team train you and work alongside you as though you were going to work on a client for us. There are people that have started entire businesses as a result of being able to take this course and understand how we approach the Google Ad Grant. So that is a new thing for us. And I'll also say we have a very exciting guest coming up on the podcast in, we'll call it 2-3 weeks. And I'll give you a hint. It is a mentor of mine and may or may not have helped inspire the creation of Whole Whale. I'll leave it at that.
Wow, George. Super exciting, super enticing. You just got to hit that subscribe button and follow us wherever you get your podcasts.
I guess if they're already listening, though, aren't they probably subscribed?
They're in it already, and we appreciate you. All right, George, getting into the content of this week, you want to start off with this. This comes from reporting by the Washington Post and others like NPR. And last week, SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States, held its hearings on the criminalization of homelessness, highlighting a pivotal case from a town called Grants Pass in Oregon, where anti-camping laws have faced constitutional challenges for punishing the unsheltered. Essentially, what happens is, and the case centers around the Eighth Amendment, and whether it's cruel and unusual punishment to fine or jail someone for sleeping on public land when no adequate shelter is available. So this law essentially criminalizes the act of being homeless. So activists, including those from major advocacy organizations, underscored the growing crisis of homelessness exacerbated by economic pressures, lack of affordable housing, and calls for humane and inclusive solutions, which this is not. There were demonstrations outside of the Supreme Court advocating for homeless rights, the rights of homeless people, and they highlighted the personal stories of struggle and resilience that were attempting to sway public and judicial opinion towards recognizing housing as a human right. But this comes amid tensions as cities and states across the country, I think particularly in a lot of our major cities, thinking about what to do about homelessness, how to solve it, the systemic causes of homelessness, which are there are many and it's complicated. But George, it strikes me that criminalizing it is just almost unconscionable, and I'm deeply worried about what this conservative Supreme Court is going to rule.
Solution, right? Where you're just sort of saying, put a finger in the dam, a Band-Aid on a entire open wound here of what it looks like to solve homelessness in these cities. And you're just sort of saying like, all right, we're going to treat the symptom, which is like, oh, if you just sort of go away, we won't have this problem. Not how it works. And even dumber is saying like, all right, we're going to incarcerate you. Not only are you then putting that person in a system where it is incredibly hard for them to then find a job, find access to a home with background checks that happen once you have a criminal record. But hold on, wait, there's more. The average cost, right, to incarcerate someone for a year, let's just float it out there. And it wildly depends. It is roughly $120 per day or $43,836. And that's a national average. In California, they say it can be as high as $130,000 per year to incarcerate someone. So I'm sorry, what was the problem we were trying to solve? Was it affordable housing? The least affordable housing in our country is prison. How is that the solution?
Yeah, George, it seems like it's stupid in every way, shape, and form.
No, that wasn't the argument. We know it's dumb. Come on.
I really don't know what to say. I think it's not smart people who were punitive, caving to political pressures to solve homelessness, which is a problem and has complicated, you know, systemic reasons why homelessness exists, but chiefly among them, lack of affordable housing. Do you know how expensive it is to live in New York City? Yeah, it's unconscionable. Look, it's ridiculous.
I'll tell you what this is. This is what NIMBYism, not in my backyard, NIMBYism looks like when it meets policy. The caring individuals who are voting in liberal ways and then quietly saying, then pass stuff like this because it's in my backyard and let's just sort of extend a camping law to make sure they're not ruining my view. You know, this is category NIMBY.
Yeah, not good. But want to shout out the amazing nonprofits that are doing really great advocacy work advocating for the homeless. There's lots of student youth movements as well, like Hunger Homeless and Awareness Weeks on campuses across the country advocating for helping folks experiencing homelessness. All right, George, I'll take us to our next story. And this one is an interesting one, kind of a oldie but a goodie, but it's back. We want to talk about net neutrality. So the FCC has restored net neutrality regime. It's restored. It's kind of the infrastructure in a landmark 3-2 decision where they voted to essentially reinstate net neutrality rules, which were kind of stripped away by the Trump administration. And essentially what this does is it classifies broadband providers of the internet as common carriers. But this, of course, sparked a wave of controversy. So critics, including many conservative nonprofits, argue this move could stifle innovation and increase regulatory burdens. But of course, advocates say that net neutrality allows for a free and open internet. And essentially what it does is it prevents ISPs from charging exorbitant prices and essentially pricing people out of access to the internet and or throttling your service or your internet speed if you're not an enterprise provider or something like that. So this is a huge win for advocates of digital rights. But of course, there are some business advocacy groups that are pushing back on this. George, what do we think about this story?
Steps toward net neutrality are always interesting because they bring together groups from the left and the right. You know, there was 141 nonprofits that were actually brought together. And I know N10 had a large part in this nonprofit technology network in trying to pull together this, you know, open internet across an interest that tied nonprofits that have education, healthcare, civic participation, that, you know, it is necessary for, you know, fairness, competitiveness of the landscape. So it's kind of like this interesting moment where two sides that maybe disagree agree that the rights to communicate should be left open as it relates to the internet. And so a step in the right direction, but 3-2 is a very tight, it wasn't unanimous, right? Like that's not a unanimous vote. That is a very narrow margin by which this was passed.
Yeah, George, I actually think that's actually a party line vote because
is that a party
FCC,
line? Oh, I thought it was cross because both.
Because what I think happens is the president has the majority of boards. So the FCC is an independent agency, but mm-hmm. the party in power has the plurality of seats on the board. I think that might have been what happened, but I have to dig into it a little bit more.
Oh, win for now.
Win for now. We'll take it. See what happens next year. Okay, George, this one, our next story comes from M&R. The agency has released their benchmarks for 2024. If you are a nonprofit marketing professional, you have already heard of the M&R benchmarks, but their 2024 results have come in. Again, this is based on a survey. This is not super duper scientific. Take everything you see with a grain of salt, right? This is not like a randomized scientific control trial. However, based on their survey data, they found that online revenue declined by 1% in 2023, and revenue from monthly giving increased by 6% and accounted for 31% of all online revenue. So it seems that like individual one-off donations really fell, but were somewhat buoyed by monthly giving. It's found that direct mail was a little less efficient in generating donation revenue compared to online donation efforts, and overall total advertising investments by nonprofits increased by 13%. And the biggest change was in radio spending, which increased by 67%, which is interesting. So, George, are there any data in particular you wanted to kind of pull out and highlight?
I also saw in here, and just keep in mind, this is a survey of 225 nonprofits. There are 1.8 million nonprofits, technically 501c3s in the United States, and roughly 70% of those operate under $1 million. So as you mentioned, a grain of salt, but still looking at some of these top performers, it's interesting to see that nonprofit direct mail revenue fell by 6% in 2023, and also email revenue declined by 7% on average. And in general, the share of all online revenue directly sourced to email was 16%. So that can kind of be interesting for an organization to potentially benchmark, at least on the email side, of like what percent of our revenue is coming from email. Though I think it is always important to note not to fall for the last click fallacy of, did they get nurtured by that email and then donate maybe via website on their own time versus direct click attribution? So I think there's a little bit of misleading information there.
Yeah, George, I think that's important to point out, right? Donation funnels are complicated, they're multifaceted, there's multiple touch points. So all of this data kind of oversimplifies what could be different pathways to donations, revenue, advertising structures for individual organizations. So important to keep that in mind. And interesting also as well is that the majority of nonprofit website traffic came from users on mobile devices. Which is in line with what we see in Google search, which is predominantly mobile. But 78% of revenue came from desktop devices. So
yeah.
George, here at Whole Whale, you need to make sure that your donation forms are mobile friendly, mobile optimized. But be aware that it seems that the strong trend is when people are getting ready to put in their credit cards, they prefer to do that over desktop.
And larger gifts too. If you're talking about percent of the whole average are going to be higher there. I am, in general, concern, you know, the macro trends of decreasing donations. I'm seeing that at small, medium, and high levels. You know, we get that in the national donation numbers that'll probably be coming out for each year. But during the summer, we get the USA Giving stats. But the trends have been down. And I think there's a number of reasons for that. And maybe we'll start to dive more into that. But this is reinforcing that, yes, direct mail at email level, that we're seeing decreases. There are increases in ad spend, so like digitally savvy ways of going out there. So like that total advertising increased by 13%. I think that makes a lot of sense. We're going to have to start to pay to play for more attention. And doing that intelligently is going to have to become part of the natural diet. I'm especially looking at search generated experience. That is the AI-ification, how Google and others are just going to directly answer our questions for information-based searches. So I think our organic traffic, people discovering you, is going to decrease year over year, and how we prepare for that, you know, in part is advertising, in part is building that email list, and then employing other tactics that hopefully fill that gap.
Yeah, George, I think that's exactly right. Stay tuned for more updates from us here at Whole Whale. But George, I have a feel-good story for you. This is a great one. This one comes from KRLD, and it's about Shark Tank. In an exciting blend of philanthropy and competition, the United Way of Metropolitan Dallas in North Texas is hosting, quote, The Pitch, where five local nonprofit startups will battle it out for a share of $275,000 in funding, or 10% equity. This event, often likened to Shark Tank, but with a more compassionate twist, will see these organizations present innovative solutions to community issues before a panel of celebrity judges and a live audience. And the hope is that this competition will both raise funds for one compassionate winner, but also overall bolster the visibility and provide great awareness of the work of some incredible nonprofits in Texas. And George, I think this is awesome. What a fun way to get the community involved in a fun, friendly, competitive, but ultimately compassionate way to expand giving.
The Shark Tank model is one that people are familiar with, and also kind of a wonderful exercise for organizations to say, how do I get that pitch? But how do I also sell? Like, how do we sell the idea of our impact, our approach to donors and funders? Like, what a great exercise to borrow for your organization. All right, Nick, I do have a question. Why did the Arbor Day Foundation conference fail?
I don't know, George.
It was shady.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. I get it. A little underhand dealing. You know, all the shade of the trees around me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what I got for you, Nick. Thanks as always, buddy.
Thanks, George.
This has been the Nonprofit Newsfeed Summary of the Week. Thanks for joining us. As always, you can find resources at nonprofitnewsfeed.com. And don't forget to sign up for our weekly email summaries of the best news from the best sector.